Good morning, and welcome to worship, and a welcome to those who are joining us online, and whoever listens later in the week. There's all sorts of people that join us in worship, so it's good to say hello to everybody. I think Alison's got one or two intimations for us.
Good morning, everybody, and welcome to our service of worship this morning, especially any newcomers or visitors who may wish to sign the visitor's book. Walking group. The next outing is this afternoon, the 31st of August, and they're going to Loch Oar Meadows with a usual coffee stop. Meet in the church car park at 2 p.m. or contact Maureen Black for more information. Coffee morning. Our next coffee morning will be next Saturday, the 6th of September, from 10 till 12. Come along for tea, coffee, home baking and a chat. Browse the bric-a-brac stall too. A sheet's available in the vestibule for volunteer helpers to sign up. Lego Club. There will be a Lego Club event at Cairnhill Church on Saturday the 27th of September between 10 and 11.30. Kids get to build something from the well-known Bible story. The event is free and children need to be accompanied. Tea and coffee will be available for the adults. Contact Irene Scott for information. Holy Communion. We will celebrate Holy Communion on Sunday the 21st of September. Doors Open Day, we're taking part in Doors Open Day once again, also on the 21st of September. And finally, here is a look at the order of service for those on Zoom. And today it's the end of the month, so it's tea and coffee and chocolate biscuits in the Irene Patterson room after the service. Thank you.
Just going back to the Lego Club, do you have to find a child to come along to that? If you come into my house, you'll find that so far I've got two McLarens, a Ferrari, a Mercedes F1 car, all Lego. So. Will we worship God? What a good idea. Let's sing to God's praise and glory. Hymn number 124, Praise to the Lord, the Almighty, the King of Creation.
Thank you.
dedicate our offering. Almighty God, receive the gifts we offer, gifts of money, of time, and of talent. Bless all that we offer as you use our gifts in the work of your church and to your glory, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. This morning, George is going to be leading us in prayer.
Good morning. I've entitled this prayer, A Prayer of Adoration and Confession. Now, in the prayer of confession, there is a response that I'd love you to join me in. And that response is, Forgive us, Lord. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we bow our heads to you and pray in adoration of your wondrous love for us and all of humanity. We cannot begin to understand how wonderful you are. You have not only shown us a way of life, you are the way to God, the way to one another, and the way of life. You are the giver of life, life abundant, life in the Spirit, and life eternal. How can we praise you enough? Therefore, in this prayer of adoration, we would wish to confirm the words of the hymn we have just sung to you this morning by confirming our praise to the Lord. Forgiving God, now in confession, we pray that we admit that it is in the darkness of our doubts that then robs us of the light of your promises. Forgive us, Lord. When our focus on what we cannot do prevents us from seeing you, what you can do through us, forgive us, Lord. When we say what should not be said and fail to say what needs to be said, forgive us, Lord. When we forget about commitments we've made and leave undone that which we should do, forgive us, Lord. When our faith becomes feeble and our courage fails, forgive us, Lord. When we find it hard to trust you and difficult to obey you, forgive us, Lord. And now, in a few moments of silence, we bring before you our personal prayer of confession. Forgiving God, thank you for your forgiveness as taught to us by your Son and our Lord Jesus Christ, who also taught us the Lord's Prayer, which we will now pray together. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Hymn number 531, My Jesus, My Saviour. Helps if I have a microphone on. Last week, the readings and the theme of the service were to do with having a childlike faith. When I looked up the readings set for this Sunday in the lectionary, there was a kind of continuity, especially so in the New Testament reading from Luke's Gospel. The passage begins with us being informed that Jesus had been invited to eat at a prominent Pharisee's house. This took place on the Sabbath, and in the verses that we are not reading, Jesus asks whether or not it is right for him to heal a sick man on the Sabbath. The guests at the Pharisee's house are watching Jesus closely. They are checking whether Jesus keeps God's law, and in response, Jesus challenges their interpretation of God's law. As we've noted many times, Jesus is far more interested in the spirit of the law than in the letter of the law. Where we pick up the story, the tables are turned. Now Jesus is observing those who were this prominent Pharisee's guests. The likelihood is that there are those who are invited guests and those who are simply there to observe, to listen and learn from the debate that is bound to be part of this meeting between Jesus as teacher or rabbi and the Pharisees as experts in God's law. This was common practice. It seems a bit strange to us, but when someone important invited someone else important, and it was likely that there was going to be some kind of debate, others would be there to observe. It's a bit like us saying, well, I'm going to invite the important people here for lunch, and the rest of the congregation actually follows on and they're standing at the windows and in the doorway just trying to listen in to what's happening. It seems strange, but it's what happened. Jesus observes the invited guests. These would have been people of status and importance within the community. There was an understanding that the more important you were, the closer you sat to your host. The guests, as they arrived, were clearly looking to sit in places they thought of as their right because of their status or standing. In every time and place, in every society, human beings have created hierarchies. Not all hierarchy is bad, but it can lead to folk believing that they are better than others. George Orwell, in the novel Animal Farm, had a list of commandments. The final commandment in that list was all animals are equal, but some animals are more equal than others. A satirical comment on revolutionary ideas of equality. Orwell's observation was that systems that were meant to create equality almost always ended up with a ruling elite who then kept the masses under their control. I suspect that most of us in church here will have grown up in a time when we were expected to respect authority. There were certain people in roles that we respected regardless of the character of the individual. If I came home from school and said something about a teacher, it didn't matter what I said, teachers were to be respected. As a child, I only needed to see a policeman and I felt guilty. And of course, there was that strange thing where you were told if you were ever in trouble, the first person you were to speak to was a policeman. So all sorts of strange things. And I'm sure most of us grew up with that kind of atmosphere. All of that said, it is always clear that where respect is earned, it is far easier to have true respect at a deeper rather than a superficial level. It was those people in authority who earned our respect that we truly respected, though we would still respect an office. In our readings, we have a description of true righteousness before God in Psalm 112, and Jesus' advice on humility and how God would have us behave in our reading from Luke's Gospel. Alison is going to read for us Psalm 112 and some of those verses from the beginning of Luke 14.
This morning's readings are Psalm 112, verses 1 to 10, The Man Who Fears the Lord. Praise the Lord. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands. Their children will be mighty in the land. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches are in their houses, and their righteousness endures forever. Even in darkness, light dawns for the upright, for those who are gracious and compassionate and righteous. Good will come to those who are generous and lend freely, who conduct their affairs with justice. Surely the righteous will never be shaken. They will be remembered forever. They will have no fear of bad news. Their hearts are steadfast, trusting in the Lord. Their hearts are secure. They will have no fear. In the end, they will look in triumph on their foes. They have freely scattered their gifts to the poor. Their righteousness endures forever. Their horn will be lifted high in honour. The wicked will see and be vexed. They will gnash their teeth and waste away. The longings of the wicked will come to nothing. And the New Testament reading is Luke 14, 1 and 7 to 4, verses 7 to 14. Jesus at the Pharisee's house. One Sabbath, when Jesus went to eat in the house of a prominent Pharisee, he was being carefully watched. When Jesus noticed how the guests picked the places of honour at the table, he told them this parable. When someone invites you to a wedding feast, do not take the place of honour, for a person more distinguished than you may have been invited. If so, the host who invited both of you will come and say to you, "Give this person your seat." Then, humiliated, you will have to take the least important place. But when you are invited, take the lowest place, so that when your host comes to you, he will say to you, "Friend, move up to a better place." Then you'll be honoured in the presence of all the other guests. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Then Jesus said to his host, "When you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends, your brothers or sisters, your relatives, or your rich neighbours. If you do, they may invite you back, and so you will be repaid. But when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous." Amen, and may God bless us this reading of his holy word.
Hymn 356, Meekness and Majesty, Manhood and Deity.
Sun, Majesty, Manhood and Deity.
passage that we read from Luke's Gospel begins with Jesus observing guests arriving for dinner. In response to his observation, he tells a parable about guests arriving at a wedding feast. In this parable, Jesus presents something very similar to that which he taught his disciples on a number of other occasions. We know Jesus' words. Had we read to the end of the passage about the rich man last week, we would have read, "Many who are first will be last, and the last first." In this passage, Jesus says, "For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted." Jesus has pointed out that it is better to show humility and be honoured than to stand on your dignity and be humbled. No doubt those who had been looking for places of honour at the table knew well that Jesus was addressing them. Or did they? Sometimes pride is such that people can see that this is a good parable applied to others, but not to self. I know I've caught myself out, believing I exhibit humility. I find myself giving in to pride. This can be very subtle and sometimes not so subtle. How many times have you heard someone say, I'm not very good at that. And there's almost that pause to say, right, tell me how good I am then. That is not humility. What Jesus is not advising is for guests to choose a lesser seat on the basis of being seen to be promoted to that better seat. His advice is to choose the lesser place because there might be someone who comes along who is far more entitled to that space. There is nothing here about choosing a place and then taking the chance that you'll be aggrieved that you were not promoted. Jesus then turns to his host with some more advice. And this is on the subject of generosity. Again, Jesus must have looked at the guests invited to eat at the Pharisees' table. These folk who were looking for the place of honour would be equally honoured if their host would in turn become their guest. It was the way things worked. It is probably still the way things work. And there is absolutely nothing wrong with hospitality within a group of friends. No doubt the Pharisee in question was known for his generosity and hospitality. And no doubt many of those who were his guests would reciprocate. This is normal life. As normal in our day as it was in the time of Jesus or any other time in history. What Jesus describes is generosity as a response to need without thought of return. These words echo the words of Psalm 112. The psalmist begins with "Praise the Lord," or had it been Hebrew, "Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Blessed are those who fear the Lord, who find great delight in his commands." Those who fear, those with absolute respect for God, are those who delight in God's commands. Now, the Pharisees truly did delight in God's commands. They honoured the law such that they tried to obey the law to what we might call the nth degree. The psalmist describes the upright as those who are gracious, compassionate, and righteous. They are generous, giving, and just. Their security is not in wealth or power, but in living for God. They are known for giving to the poor. And as such, their righteousness endures forever. The Pharisees would have certainly understood that God is the one who repays those who have done evil and rewards those who have done good and right. The Pharisees would have known that psalm. Jesus' question to his host is really, are you looking for treasure on earth, or are you looking for treasure in heaven? That big biblical principle that is, it's said a few times in the New Testament, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It is very easy to get caught up in the desire for wealth, power, possession, and maybe in our society, particularly celebrity. Those who achieve these things are very often surrounded by those who honour or worship wealth, power, or celebrity. Those who come to believe that they are better than others because of these things assume that these things bring respect. You ought to respect me because I'm rich, I'm powerful, because of the position I hold, because I am a celebrity. Apart from the kind of followers they surround themselves with, very often the opposite is true. The people that we respect in the long term are those who retain their humanity and show their humility and resist the temptations that come with power and wealth, and maybe particularly celebrity. That's what we truly respect. In the world of today, there are far too many examples of what wealth and power can do to make the world a worse place. Those who believe in themselves because of their wealth and power and seem oblivious to the very different view that most of humanity has for them. History is full of examples of those who believe in their own greatness and are now reviled as examples of evil. What we must never forget is that there are equally those who are remembered for their giving, for the good that they did, and often because they did not implicitly value wealth and power. Instead, they saw these things as things to be used for the good of others. They saw in these things a resource, not something that defined who they were. There are lots of things in terms of power and wealth and celebrity that we somewhat fear because of what they could do. And there's a new one in our age, and as I was looking for wise words, I was really quite amused and maybe found it a bit ironic that the quotation that goes with humility and honour, the best quotation I could find, came from Google AI Overview. A lot of people are very concerned about what artificial intelligence is or might do. We can be fearful of it, and it does have a certain power. So what I found in the Bible, humility is a God-honoring mindset that acknowledges one's dependence on God, seeks the interests of others above one's own and is exemplified by Jesus Christ's sacrifice. All I'd put in was quotations on humility. Now, AI then went, what else has he been looking at? And decided that since I'd been looking at the Bible, it must want Bible, because I'd looked at things from Christian sites, it must be Christian, and put all of that together. And so, artificial intelligence says, humility is a God-honoring mindset, which I'm sure we want. It acknowledges our dependence on God, which we should have. It seeks the interests of others above one's own, Jesus' words, and is exemplified by Jesus Christ's sacrifice. So whether it is a bit of irony or whether it is amusing, it is certainly challenging to find that something that seems to have growing power in our world gave me just the answer I was looking for in terms of the Christian faith. Look for God and you will find him. Seek God's word and he'll speak to you. So, as we go from here, let's remember Jesus' words 2,000 years ago. And maybe not a bad thing to remember in our lives that humility is a God-honoring mindset that acknowledges our dependence on God, that seeks the interests of others above our own, and that our great example, that humility, is exemplified by Jesus in his self-giving for us. Amen. We're going to sing a hymn that we've not sung before. The words will not particularly be known to you, but the tune will. It's a pretty well-known hymn tune. Hymn 263, God of Freedom, God of Justice. sure you've got a prayer for others.
I read that hymn for the first time but a couple of days ago, and I was just overwhelmed by it, the content of it. It's so, anyway, I've incorporated that in the prayer for the world and others. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you in prayer, having just sung a hymn that totally encapsulates the great need of your love in so many areas of conflict and trouble in our world. We again pray for the peoples of the Ukraine and Palestine as their oppressors continue to relentlessly bombard them for their own objectives, with total disregard to the inhumane suffering of the civilian populations. We also pray for all the many other areas of conflict in the world today. And using the words of the hymn just sung, God of freedom, use your healing breath to give hope to all who are oppressed. We pray for all who are suffering as a result of climate change, as we witnessed the devastation in Nepal and Pakistan, where the record increase in the normal rainfall has caused such destructive flooding. In our country, we are experiencing, as many others in parts of the world, massive wildfires causing the burning of vast areas of land with the loss of natural scenic beauty and wildlife. God of love, move in those world leaders, again using the words of the hymn, the power of pity for all who have been affected, them to act now and take measures to halt this catastrophic world climate change. We pray for all who are having heard of the forthcoming rise in the cost of energy, who will be faced, faced as a winter approaches with reduced money to spend on other essential needs such as food. God of justice, use the power of pity to influence our country's leaders to provide financial support for them and also the many who are homeless. We pray now for our church as we continue along the journey towards the union of Cairnhill, Limekilns, Cooris and Torryburn. Be with the members who represent each congregation as they seek to create the best road forward in all areas of activities which are currently common to the three churches. And now, in a few moments of silence, we would like to bring to you from our hearts family and friends we feel are in need of your love and comfort at this time. Almighty God, thank you for listening to our prayer. Amen.
We're going to sing now four verses of hymn 485, Dear Lord and Father of Mankind. We're singing the first, the fourth, and the fifth. First, fourth, fifth, and sixth verses of that hymn. in Jesus' name, in the power of the Spirit, to honour the Father. And may the blessing of God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit be with you and remain with you always.